Continuing on to the last segment of our program tonight, before we invite our guest speaker, who's going to be talking about proving the existence of God, our guest speaker is Sayyid Shiraz Agha, and he has been in the Islamic Seminary of Qom for over 20 years. Of course, he has a master's in Islamic philosophy as well as a PhD in Islamic philosophy as well. He is also one of the founders of the Avicenna Institute for Research and Education. He is actually the humble individual who has translated the book that we were showcasing tonight, The Demonstrations of the Veracious, which had 216 different arguments and demonstrations proving the existence of God. I will let our speaker give more details as he comes. And with that, we will invite Sayyid Shiraz Agha from Houston, Texas, with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق أولم يكف بربك أنه على كل شيء شهيد ألا إنهم في مرية من لقاء ربهم ألا إنه بكل شيء محيط صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات على محمد وآل محمد صلى الله على محمد وآل
I would like to begin my small speech by thanking the students of Qom organization for giving me the opportunity to take part in this a small act of worship and ibadat, and also Islamic Pulse for helping me in furthering this and extending this small act of worship that Allah gave me the tawfiq of fulfilling. I'm sure that many of you have probably already seen the small interview conducted with Sayyid Shahriyar regarding a book that I translated. If you haven't, it is available online and you can watch it. That interview was primarily concerned with certain peripheral matters regarding a book that I recently translated and published called The Demonstrations of the Veracious for the Existence of God. So for example, who is the author of the book? What was the purpose in translating it? The process of translating it, and these kind of matters. So the organizers were kind of inclined for me to also present a little bit about the contents themselves, the contents of the book, perhaps to increase the inclination of the of people in purchasing the book and benefiting from it. So I'm going to kind of concentrate more on the actual contents of the book, a little bit more than what was mentioned in the interview regarding the peripheral matters regarding the book. But before I begin doing that, just by way of introduction, because let me just give a small brief review of what the book is. So this book is a translation of a Persian work called Burhan-hay Siddiqin bar Wujud-e Khuda, 216 Burhan bar Hasti-e Khudawand. I'm sure most of you know Persian and you're aware of the meaning of this. So in this book, the author, Ayatollah Hossein Oshaghi, who is one of the students of Allama Hassanzadeh Amuli and Ayatollah Jawadi, he's collected approximately 216 arguments for God's existence. I'll talk a little bit more about that soon. Like we mentioned in the interview, I translated this book because personally I thought that with all of the propagation of ilhad and atheism, agnosticism going on today, this book could perhaps serve as a tool not only to combat, you know, atheism, but also maybe if some people are having doubts, misgivings about God's existence, you know, or other matters regarding theism, you know, this book can perhaps help clarify and resolve those problems and misgivings. By way of introduction, just to speak a little bit about ilhad here. So ilhad is not something, or atheism, it's not something new, right? It's been present from times immemorial. It was present in the Greek philosophers. Many of them were atheists, many of them were agnostics, right? They were theists, they were people who believed in God, even the unity of God, Aristotle, Plato, right? The other, you know, Pythagoras, these kind of philosophers. But there were also people like Gorgias and, you know, Democritus. These people believed in chance, that everything, the universe, has come into existence by chance. So ilhad is not something new. It existed even in the time of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is reflected in the Quran. For example, there's a verse in the Holy Quran. It says, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim." There's a verse. It says that "Wama yuhlikuna illa dar." In hiya illa hayatuna dunya, namutu wa nahiya, wama yuhlikuna illa dar. The disbelievers say that there is nothing but the life of this world, meaning there's no akhirat, there's no ma'ad, as we say, so there's a denial of ma'ad. Wama yuhlikuna illa dahr, and nothing creates us and destroys us but time. So a rejection of the mabda. The mabda and ma'ad here is being related in the Quran, that, you know, it's being denied by these disbelievers. This ilhad was present there. It was present in the time of our Aimma alayhimu salam, right? We have hadith, many hadiths of, like we mentioned in the interview, of mulhideen, atheists, agnostics coming, asking the imams, our imams, about, you know, about God, his existence, proofs for his existence, right? So this is a tradition that it goes back from times immemorial, and it's also part of the tradition of the Islamic seminary, right? So in the past, we have ulama who have written many treatises, epistles, independent works on the existence of God. They're present. A lot of them have been published. You know, these books are valuable sources of knowledge in the battle with atheism and these isms that we have. We also have modern works like the book that has been translated here, Burhan-i-Siddiqeen. This is basically a little introduction to why this work, where does it fit into, like, in the context of the history of this discussion. All right, so let me explain a little bit more about the work itself, so as to avoid repetition of what we talked about in the interview. Right, so in this book, right, this book is divided into basically two main sections. The author in the first section, he presents arguments that other people have mentioned regarding God's existence. But before we get into that, I think by way of clarification, something should be said about exactly what is a Burhan-i-Siddiqeen. This wasn't touched upon in the interview. And, like, where did this theory and this idea come from? Right. So in the verse I mentioned in the beginning of the speech, in this verse, God Almighty, he says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم. We will show them our signs in the horizons, so outside of themselves and in themselves. حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. So it becomes clear for them. They become sure and it becomes clear for them that He is true. He exists. He is the truth. So if we pay attention to this verse, right, God Almighty, He's kind of alluding to the fact that God's creation, His creatures, regardless of whether those creatures are things outside of us or things within ourselves, right, those are His signs, those are proofs for His creation. We have a famous hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that inna turaq ilallah bi'adadin anfusin nas, is a famous hadith, that the paths to God are equal in number to the paths to the souls of human beings, right? So this is one category of signs of Allah, right, in the parlance and in the terminology of the Quran. The Quran doesn't use arguments, it uses ayat and signs, as you're aware of. But then the tone of the verse changes, and he says that awalam yakfi بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Is it not enough for your Lord that He is a proof for all things? Right. So the tone of the verse is slightly changing here, and God is saying that God Himself is a proof for everything. He's a proof, and He's a witness and a proof for everything, which includes Himself. Right. So our ulama, they say that the itlaq here, the unconditionality of the verse, it implies that God is also a proof. He's a sign, He is a ayat for Himself, for His own existence. Right, so, and then it continues, and I won't get into the rest of the verse. But so our ulama, taking inspiration from verses like this, or like, I'm sure if you've read Dua Arafah, or the other duas in which, for example, we have one dua in which one of the imams, I believe it's Imam Sajjad, says, "Ya man dalla ala zatihi bizate." This is a famous from one of our prayers, our duas, which have been transmitted from our imam alayhi salam. Says, "He who is a indicates himself, by his own essence." Right. So, taking inspiration from these verses, these kind of hadiths, our ulama pondered over the matter whether it is possible to prove God's existence by not by something other than Him, but by Himself, whether this is actually logically possible. We have this, the Quran and the Hadith indicating this, but they were kind of intrigued by it. Maybe it's possible to actually do this. So one of the famous sages, I'm sure you've heard of him, Farabi. Farabi was one of the famous philosophers. He kind of indicated that this is indeed possible. It's indeed possible to do this. But he never presented actually a tangible example for it, how it can be done. Right? Slowly moving forward in the history of Islamic thought, right? We have the first person who actually attempted to present a tangible example for this was Ibn Sina. Ibn Sina in the Sharh-e Isharat, in the fourth namat over there, he presents an argument. He says that over here, I haven't taken recourse to any of God's creation to prove God's existence. I won't get into the intricacies of the proof, right? You can look at it over there. This continued, moved forward gradually. People objected to Ibn Sina. They said, no, this the example that you mentioned is not an example of Burhan al-Siddiqeen. Right? It does indeed take recourse to God's creation. Right? And then it moved forward. You know, the next person who came up with an example for this was Mullah Sadra. Then the Urafa themselves, they also presented examples for this, Ibn Turka. All of these individuals, their proofs and the explanation of their arguments are contained in this book. So, what is Burhan al-Siddiqeen? Just by way of summary, it's an argument in which we don't take recourse to God's creation, rather we take recourse to God to prove Him, right? So obviously I'm sure this is giving, in your mind, it's giving rise to a question, right? If we are proving God by God, does that not mean that from the beginning we are sure that He exists, right? So this is an objection. The author, he mentions this objection. and he explains why it's not valid, right? In a nutshell, he says that in the beginning we examine something. We examine something that we know exists, but we don't know it's God, right? It's like for example, in the example they give is the example in the Quran of Surah Yusuf. In Surah Yusuf, when the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf, alayhi salam, came to visit him, they weren't sure that the person they were speaking to was Yusuf. They thought it was Aziz and Misr, right? But slowly, as he was talking, right, they realized and they came to the conclusion, and they came to the conclusion that the person they were speaking to was Yusuf, right? So they say, innaka anta Yusuf, right? So they affirmed the Yusufiyat of Hazrat Yusuf from himself, not from something else, right? So in a similar manner, like a lot of what the purpose of these demonstrations is that we have something, we know something that exists, but we are not sure that it's God. When we analyze it, look at its attributes, its conditions, its distinctions, we come to realize that the thing that we already had with us was in fact God, but we were unaware of it.
Right. That's kind of what Burhan-e-Siddiqeen is.
One of the other reasons why these are ulama, they kind of shifted towards this line of argumentation, this kind of line of thinking, was there was a problem with the other arguments that we have for God's existence, right? For example, we kind of alluded to this in the interview, but there was no time to elaborate on it. Maybe I'll just kind of point towards it, this matter here. So the arguments that argue for God's existence from his creation, there's a problem with them. In the sense that these arguments, right, so we start with something, God's creation, for example, X, Y, Z. We say that this thing exists. It's something possible, it's something contingent, it's something generated in time. Therefore, it requires a cause. Right? It requires a cause. If that cause is similar to it, it also has to have a cause. The chain of cause and effects cannot go forever. It has to terminate at a cause that doesn't itself have a cause. Okay. So a lot of people, they realize that there's a problem with this in the sense that if we are not sure about the cause of an effect, right, we can never be sure that the effect actually exists, right? Because the effect can only exist when the cause is present. It's a simple logic, right? So we're trying to prove God, who is the ultimate cause of the universe, by his effects, when we still don't know if that cause exists or not, which implies that the effects themselves are unsure and uncertain. And if the premises of the argument are uncertain, one of which is the existence of the effects, God's creation, it means that the conclusion also of the argument, which is God's existence, will be uncertain. Right? So this kind of problem here, it kind of made our ulama shift their line of thinking, move towards these other line of arguments, the Burhan Haye Siddiqeen. Right? But why do they call it Burhan Siddiqeen? This is something interesting. Ibn Sina was the first person to name these arguments Burhan Siddiqeen. Siddiq comes from sidq, or truthfulness, or also could be translated as sincerity, the ikhlas, like ikhlas, because these people don't look at anything besides God in their quest for God, in their intellectual journey towards God. They are more sincere than other people who kind of observe other things besides God in their journey towards God and in their movement intellectually towards God. So this is a little introduction to Burhan-e-Siddiqeen, right? So in this, there was a request made to kind of maybe mention one of the arguments. In the beginning of the book, the author, he mentions and alludes to one argument. This is a famous argument. And I guess we're all here, we're all talibas, I'm assuming, right? So I'm sure in the course of your studies, eventually you're going to get to a book. It's a book called Tamhidul Qawaid. Right? So in that book, there are a number of arguments presented for God's existence, but with a mystical inclination. If you know Ayatollah Jawadi Amali, he has a book in which he's commentated on his book in the form of a text called Tahrir-e Tamhidul Qawaid. In the end of that book, he kind of objects to all of these arguments. He doesn't consider them valid. He says there's a problem with all of them. One of the beautiful things about this book that has been translated is that the author, he answers those objections. He answers those objections, and he shows why those objections are incorrect and invalid. Right? So that's just a little bit about the book and some matters regarding the book. Obviously, the title of the speech was Proving God's Existence, but I don't think in the setting of a speech this can be done. This is more just promoting my book, so you can buy it. I hope it encouraged you to buy it, maybe. And I think that these projects, for us talabas and students in Islamic seminary, a lot of times when we come here, we kind of get limited to, especially, because people in general, the masses, general populace of Muslims, right? Gradually, as time is passing, people are losing interest in reading books themselves, right? Because of, the mobiles and internet and these kind of things. So I think translation is something very important for us, translating books, encouraging people to get back to text. We have hadith about how valuable books are, right? Like, for example, we have a book, a famous hadith. It says that if somebody dies and he doesn't leave anything besides books, wajaba lahul jannah, right? So I think we should kind of encourage this more amongst the people back home. But part of this is translating good texts, introducing them, having these kind of sessions, and promoting these kind of works.
Thank you very much. I really thoroughly enjoyed the discussion, actually. Three questions now I have. The first question is Burhan al-Siddiqeen. If I'm not mistaken, it's proving Allah's existence through Allah Himself, right? The thought that I immediately had was, okay, so if we approach Allah through any other argument, is that not a level of shirk? Is there not a level of shirk in that? Because you're essentially trying to prove the Creator, who's infinite, through something which is finite and, created. So that's the first question. I know you mentioned something about the levels of sincerity according to Abu Ali Sina. The second question is, how much is the book? And the third question is, with a discount, yeah. And the third question is there a more simple argument that we can present for youths? Because this has been quite an academic discussion so far. Those are my three questions. Jazakallah.
So I'll try to answer all three really quickly. The first question, it would be shirki khafi. So we have a hadith that the traces of shirk in my ummah are like the footprints of a black ant on a black rock in the dark night. So it would be something like that. The second question was the price. We can talk about that after the speech. You can haggle with me after. The third question, the simplicity is a good that you asked that. When something is free of, is incapable of being objected to, it automatically makes it more simple, right? So these arguments, right, because there's no way that, at least in the opinion of the author, there's no way or there's no khilal in them to be objected to, right? It makes them very simple to understand. And because a lot of them, are, most all of them, they proceed with an analysis of things that we all of us know for sure, but just we have taken for granted, we've passed over them. We just need to ponder over them once again, right? So for that, in a sense, they are difficult, but at the same time, they are simple. So almost the simplicity makes them difficult.
Assalamu alaikum. And Jazakallah for the speech and being here today. Well, the question really is Burhan al-Siddiqeen, with proving God through God, right? Wouldn't it be a circular reference? And I know you alluded to it that we assume that there is something And then we don't assume that it's God, and then we move towards it. And I think this is the strongest, as I've heard from other ulama, it is the strongest argument on Tawheed that we have, right? So if our strongest argument has a circular reference, how do we defend it for somebody who doesn't really believe in God, who doesn't have any foundation, and rather is critical of the existence of God and denies the existence of God? How do we deal with that sort of a situation? Or is it just for the Urafa to have that sort of, I don't know, I just kind of...
Yeah, so like you mentioned, there is it comes to mind that this is a vicious circle, right, of argumentation. Right, so the author, he alludes to this in the book in the beginning, and he answers it. So he says that basically we are affirming one of his sifat, his attributes, through another, right? Like, for example, in basic books of Kalam, right, we prove God's ilm, his knowledge, through one of his other sifat. One of his sifat serve as an argument for his other sifat. Like, for example, his tajarrud, the fact that he's not a physical body, he's immaterial, right? So at the same time, we know all of the sifat are one with God's existence. So in essence, we are going from one thing to the same thing, right? But because they are distinct in their misdaq, or conceptually distinct, the author is of the opinion that there's no door involved. Same thing here. We analyze something which is misdaqan, it's in extension, it's one with God, but conceptually it's distinct from him. So he says that as long as they are conceptually different from one another, mafhuman, their concepts are different, is no door involved.
Salaamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. It was not planned, so my talk is not going to be planned either. I'm just going to say a few words that just came to my mind. One of the things that we see is people expecting ulama and the seniors to do something, right? And again, it's nothing planned. We didn't talk about it. It's just straight out of my heart, right? We expect them to do something. We expect them to produce something that is worthwhile, that can solve some issues of the world, and that can help them grow spiritually, academically, intellectually, so on and so forth, right? But unfortunately, when they do something, we kind of see that there's not the enough support is not there, right? The desired support is not there, and this is really unfortunate, right? And I've seen this, you know, back in those days. You know, we would go to, I don't know, Starbucks coffee, and you know, go to McDonald's to have a burger, but we wouldn't spend those $2, those $3, those $5 to help a good cause, right? Same thing here. Right, we go out, we dine out, you know, we travel, we take trips to other places, even to Mashhad, then you know, to Shamal, and so on and so forth. And when it comes to supporting something that is of value, and you know, that is being done by the senior scholars, you know, that support is generally not felt. So I would just request humbly, very humbly request all of you to support this humble project, support this humble brother and what he has done, you know, this translation. He did it in 3 months, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Approximately 3 months. It's 600 pages book. And it's a takhasusi book in a way that there are those jargons that need somebody of his caliber to translate, right? And, you know, I think the appreciation, the least appreciation from our side should be that we get a copy. Now, another idea could be that if you are connected to your community back home, you know, from wherever you come, talk to them, you know, send them, ship them 10 copies, you know. So help the brother out, right? He did the hard work. Now it's our turn to kind of be that support structure and inshallah, take it to the next level. Sorry for taking your time. And jazakumullah khair. Please recite a salawat.